Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. To ask a question during the question-and-answer session, please press star one on your touch-tone phone. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Tim Healy. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for taking time this morning to participate in this asset management sales play. One key point on the opening chart there, you'll see a tactic code. I just ask you to mark that tactic code down because I believe in the charts further down that they have a different tactic code. The tactic code on the cover page is the correct one, the 100D905R. Again, 100D905R is the correct tactic code for this sales play. I'm Tim Healy. I'm the head of Maximo for North America, and I just wanted to take a couple minutes to kick this off because it's a very exciting area, real-time asset locator, as well as asset management. When you talk about real-time asset locator, what makes it exciting is not only the product, but also the fact that the business is paying both the, what I would say, legacy Maximo folks that have been selling the asset management, the enterprise asset management solution, as well as the Tivoli specialists. So both sides are getting paid. In addition to that, the product offers a tremendous amount of value propositions for almost any industry. So there's a lot of applicability for this solution that you're going to see in just about every territory that you would be covering. Let me add, I was on a customer call last week with the at Honeywell, and the CEO was going to do a flyby to meet, just say hi. So he popped in, and we started talking a little bit about enterprise asset management and got into real-time asset locator. Well, that flyby for a few minutes turned into an hour because of the extraordinary applicability that not only Maximo, but the real-time asset locator had to their business and to their customer set. In this case, they were focused around a lot of federal government business. But the applicability of this solution really got him so excited he spent over an hour with us. So I appreciate your time this morning to hear more about the real-time asset locator and to understand how it can improve asset utilization and employee productivity by providing the current location of existing resources, by reducing capital expenditures, by reducing asset loss and shrinkage and results of over-purchasing of assets, as well as the fact that it can enforce business rules and regulatory requirements with location-based events and automatically triggered workflow. I'm going to turn the call over now to the main speaker, Greg Knowles. I will be back on at the end, and we will have Q&A at the end, so please hold your questions at the end, and we'll be happy to address any of them. Greg is part of a new division in IBM focused on delivering solutions for line-of-business problems. Greg has been working with the sensor-based solutions in the asset tracking and visibility space for the past 6 years, and he's the product manager for IBM's new product offering called Real-Time Asset Locator. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Greg.
Thanks, Tim. Good morning and afternoon, everybody. What I wanted to do today is kind of give you an overview of a new product, a new offering that's come out of this new software division called Industry Solutions. And the product is the IBM Real-Time Asset Locator, okay? And it is one of the first offerings out of this group, so we're very excited about it. It introduces some new interesting capabilities for tracking assets, for reporting on asset location, asset condition, and feeding that information in real time into Maximo and Tivoli Asset Management for IT. And it creates some very interesting value-added opportunities around new and existing business processes. So to kind of set this up in slide two, what I wanted to get into is some of the issues that we see in the marketplace. And as Tim said, these issues are literally cross-industry. You see them everywhere. We are targeting initially the healthcare space, particularly healthcare providers, so hospitals and clinics, as well as several sub-industries inside the industrial sector. And I'll get into those in a bit more detail as we progress through the deck here. But in terms of, you know, asset management and asset optimization, asset productivity, you see a number of problems that result from a lack of visibility, and visibility both in terms of where the asset is, but also its condition. And this falls into kind of four broad categories here. One is kind of direct expense around those assets. It could be in the form of direct, you know, capital expenditures because I have more assets than I need because I've got high safety stock levels because my assets are underutilized. It could be, you know, the general over-procurement or even, you know, from an operational standpoint, excessive charges for rental equipment. And then we've got another category here around asset damage and loss. So, you know, this is a general problem with assets that walk out the door, you know, never to be found again. Maybe they're misplaced. Maybe they've actually been stolen. Clearly a problem in both accounts. Also damaged equipment, you know, equipment that's common among multiple departments or shared by multiple people. You want to be able to account for damage and, in general, improve accountability across the asset and asset utilization. And then operational efficiency. We hear constantly from customers that their staff spend an inordinate amount of time searching for assets. These are assets that are critical to the jobs that they do every day. They shouldn't have to search for them. It should be very easy to find them. They should be where they're expected to be, and if they're not, they should be able to locate them readily. And there's a loss in productivity due to asset misallocation. Maybe you've got enough assets, but they're not where they need to be. So even if you can find it readily, if it's you know, on the other side of the facility, and that's not where it's supposed to be, that's a productivity impact. And then from an audit and validation and compliance standpoint, you know, it's a time-consuming process, and it's also highly error-prone. A lot of times these are, you know, paper-based kind of processes. There's some data entry that happens, things like that. There's just, you know, human error throughout these processes. And then all of this kind of leads to a general deterioration in asset utilization, right? So these are all problem areas that we want to address and can address with the real-time asset locator. In slide three, these are more specific issues and anecdotes that we've heard from customers in the healthcare space. You know, first two bullets there, we've got two different analysts who have reported anywhere from 10 to 20% in asset loss. Okay, so these are assets that, you know, maybe they haven't gone out the door, but they can't find them. So effectively, hospitals are forced to add new assets, to add safety stock, essentially, to their inventory of assets, you know, in order to have the supply on hand. Another client said that if they can't find an asset twice in a row, they'll actually retire the asset, and that results in the same thing. So, you know, purchasing, procurement, go out, and they buy another one. Even if the asset turns up later, they've still bought it. Another impact of not being able to find it is you can't PM it. You know, so if an asset turns up later, we've kind of written it off. Now it's not really tracked properly in the EAM system in Maximo, so you're never really sure of the state, and this can be a real problem around contamination, maintenance, making sure assets are working properly. Another client told us they actually went out to the internet, found some of their assets on eBay, and actually went up and picked them up, bought them from somebody at a mall, picked them up, you know, out of somebody's trunk. Another issue is decontamination and infection control, and just ensuring that assets are going through the right processes. As I mentioned earlier, if it can't be found, you can't necessarily. You can't do the proper sanitation process, and this does become a big issue with infection, cross-contamination, and that sort of thing. And then finally, the Joint Commission actually recommends a 95% PM rate, and if If healthcare customers can't get to that 95% PM rate, they do some pretty drastic things. And this is another anecdotal story from a customer where they essentially stop everything, get all hands on deck, and they go find the assets that still need to be PM to get them to a 95% rate. So, you know, causes lots of problems in this environment, and it's not limited to healthcare. In chart four, we see a number of trends or best practices that are occurring in the industrial sector that also create the need for asset tracking and condition monitoring, that sort of thing, in order to, you know, basically run my business as competitors are running them and to keep up with the time, so to speak. So one of these trends is a trend towards flexible manufacturing. So it's a shift away from dedicated lines, dedicated assets and resources to more flexibility. So the need to be able to reconfigure assets, move things around, reconnect them in different ways, and then understand basically in real time where all my assets are, how they're related, what rooms they're in together, that sort of thing, is a real need. So there's also a trend towards more shared assets. So high value and critical assets and tools that are shared among multiple departments. Again, it's not just industrial. We see this across a number of other industries. Even that's a trend in healthcare, right? But we also need to be able to track where these shared assets are, what equipment they're associated with, what department they're associated with. In real time and basically be able to report that information into the asset management system. And then finally, we've got condition monitoring. So this is a rapidly growing trend and getting more complex by the day, really, in monitoring overall conditions of assets. I think the kind of getting the toe in the water are high-level conditions such as is it in use? Is it clean, dirty? Has it been properly maintained? Those sorts of things. But also tracking the utilization of the asset. How long has it been in use? And optimizing preventative maintenance based on usage as opposed to periodic PM. So to help optimize those processes. Slide five. So who does the issue affect? RTAL is targeted at line of business, right? These issues are really line of business and operational problems. They're not necessarily IT problems, although IT may be a target for starting this discussion. So primarily it's going to be line of business people you're talking to, you know, the heads of departments, VPs, line of business owners and heads. And then kind of secondarily, some of the maybe what are traditionally more familiar targets for some of our IBM sales channels is, you know, the enterprise IT guys. But they can also be a pathway into, the C-level guys, the operational leaders, as they, they can be our champions, they can help support us. So still a route into the business. Slide six is my one slide overview, basically, of the real-time asset locator. And it's designed to address the problems we've been discussing, so visibility problems, inability to locate assets, resulting in higher than necessary asset levels, addressing lost productivity and operational downtime, and uncertainty about maintenance and calibration. So these are all issues we're targeting with this offering. And what we do is we attach RFID tags, essentially, to track the condition and status of assets in real time, and condition-wise tracking things like in use, needs to be cleaned, needs maintenance, needs to be sanitized, and then integrating all that information with Maximo or Tivoli Asset Management for IT. Okay, and then the business values that follow from that kind of solution, obviously we're addressing the key pain points here, increase productivity, reduction in asset levels, improved auditability, and reduction in asset loss. In slide 7 is an overview of how the end-to-end solution works. So there's both software components and hardware components here. And it really starts with the tags and the RFID infrastructure that monitors the location and condition directly of the asset. So it starts with the tags. We put a tag on an asset. We commission it in the system. And as the asset moves around the environment, it beacons, basically, information about its location. And the reader infrastructure that sits above that, listening for tag signals, listening for the movement of assets, then translates those signals into XYZ coordinates or maybe even zone-based location information. So the infrastructure itself generates the location information and may also include some condition information. And that information is reported up to the real-time asset locator. And in real-time asset locator, what we do is we create a model of the environment. And that model, basically, you can think of it as a floor plan, right? We actually visualize it as a floor plan. So we can show rooms and different areas and zones, and you can create virtual zones within that area, within the floor of a hospital, say, or within a plant floor. We can create these zones. And within the zones, we can establish rules about the behavior of assets as they move around the environment. For example, you might create a zone around an exit door, right? And you would establish a rule around that zone that certain kinds of assets shouldn't come into this zone, or else it may indicate they're going out the door. We can create other zones and establish rules for assets that either shouldn't enter that zone or shouldn't leave that zone. For example, a data center. Certain assets should not leave a data center unless maybe they're escorted by somebody from your data center IT group who has authorization to remove equipment. So we establish these rules about the behavior of asset, and those rules trigger higher order events or alerts or notifications that we want to send to Maximo to trigger workflows or work orders to take place for somebody to go address, the problem that's been detected, the situation that's been detected. So that's kind of the end-to-end view of how it works.
Hey Greg, this is Tim. If I could just make one clarification point, I think it's important. Real-time asset locator is software solution. This chart could make you think that it has a lot of hardware associated with it, but it is a software solution. It does require sensors and readers. That's not necessarily part of or doesn't come with what you buy with real-time asset locator.
Right. Tim, actually, that's a great point. Thank you for clarifying. I want to make 2 points. The real-time asset locator is an IBM software product for which Maximo and Tivoli reps get full commission credit. Okay, and the hardware infrastructure is actually sold separately. We frequently work with GTS and GBS to deliver package deals, but we have a number of key partners around the hardware infrastructure, the tags and the readers, and my team can help you. We have a whole set of architects who can help you work with customers to select the right technology, to pick the right vendor to partner with on some of these different engagements. And, sometimes it requires technology from multiple partners, but we can help you coordinate that and put together an end-to-end deal working with the partners and with GBS and GTS. Moving on to slide 8, one of the key values that we bring from IBM between the enterprise asset management and the sensor side of the equation, the real-time asset locator, is an end-to-end solution offering. Okay, and we have the key partners that can also provide the hardware. But there are no other software providers that can tell this story around sensor integration and enterprise asset management. What you see elsewhere is highly fragmented. So this is a real important and a key differentiator for us in this marketplace. So, you know, it's a key point that you should make with all of your customers. In chart 9, you know, obviously we talked about some of the pain points, and chart 9 really summarizes, you know, the counterpoint. When you bring the real-time asset locator into an enterprise asset management offering, into an EAM deal, we can leverage the real-time data, the location, the condition information to bring all these benefits to the line of business, to the and the IT executives here. So minimizing downtime, you know, proactively monitoring state and condition and location, and improving general utilization, improving employee productivity, reducing the expenditures that I mentioned before, both you know, operational expenses for rental and capital expenses for over purchase of assets. We can improve personnel safety, person safety in general. It could be tracking patients in a hospital environment to ensure you know, maybe patients with certain conditions, infections or dementia, don't leave certain zones, that sort of thing. And ensuring worker safety more in a hazardous industrial environment. And then improving audit and compliance capabilities. Slide 10 is the target set of customers for this play. And there are a number of entry points here. We could come in through existing Maximo asset management customers. And I should point out here that RTAL, the real-time asset locator, prereqs Maximo 7117. Okay, so there are some key features in 7117 that we leverage with the real-time asset locator. You know, so we've that is a prereq that I want to make sure we have clear. We could also come in through WebSphere Sensor Events customers. So WebSphere Sensor Events is kind of a companion product to the real-time asset locator. And you would bring in real-time asset locator in order to bridge a standalone WebSphere Sensor Events customer into Maximo. So that would be a different entry point. And then we may have kind of white space Maximo prospects. You would position, obviously, RTAL and Maximo here together. There are some options to get started with RTAL without Maximo. In this case, it's actually a different product, but we could help you work through that as well. So we have, you know, basically all these different entry points into customers. So, but we probably should start with, you know, existing Maximo customers, existing WebSphere Sensor Events customers. And then, as I mentioned, target industries, very clearly healthcare providers, clinics and hospitals, that sort of thing. And in the industrial sector, many of these other industries have work and process tracking needs, or they have personnel safety needs because the environments are hazardous. So you see aerospace and defense here, automotive manufacturers and their tier one suppliers, government agencies, and oil and gas. In slide 11, some of the use cases specifically to healthcare. We've talked about these a little bit already, but just a little bit more detail. So there's three broad categories. Asset tracking is one. So these are any of the kind of day-to-day resources, mobile resources that are used in the hospital environment. Clinical equipment, wheelchairs, infusion pumps, even mobile IT assets. And then we've got staff tracking, and we've seen some interest in staff tracking with customers to basically gain some visibility to their overall processes, how the process works, how efficient is it, how many people are working on which things. You know, looking at the flow of workers in that process, and then patients, which which spills over into the third category, patient tracking. An interesting connection between staff tracking and patient tracking is this emerging kind of priority area of infection control, right? Being able to track the history of staff and patients in order to understand where an outbreak may have occurred, and if we find out at some hours down the road that a patient is contagious, we can go back in time and figure out which staff were in contact with them, what other people were in contact with that patient to help get a jump on infection control. So other areas for patient tracking, again, tracking the flow of patients through a particular department, alerting for wandering patients, patients that shouldn't leave a certain ward. Maybe they're contagious, maybe they're just not mentally in a good state. So all of those things in the healthcare space. Then in chart 12, we've got some industrial environment applications. So these fall in three areas as well. So critical resource management, very similar to healthcare. These are mobile assets, tools, containers that are required to do the day-to-day job. So being able to track and locate those very quickly. From a personnel safety standpoint, there are applications around making sure both personnel have the right qualifications to enter different hazardous zones and that they also have the right safety equipment with them when they enter zones. The ability to alert for unsafe situations like that, also man down or fall detection. We can detect and alert for conditions where somebody has become immobile or they've fallen. So there's literally we can track the Z location, so the height of the tag that's attached to somebody, and we can tell if that has had a dramatic change in height. And the third area is work in process. So this is ability to track some piece of work as it moves through a production environment and track tools that are being used on it, track parts that are being attached to it, providing visibility about that asset as it moves through the process. Okay. Slide 13. Now I'm going to move into several customer scenarios, customer references. The first one is a healthcare provider, St. Michael's Medical Center in New Jersey. And St. Michael's wanted to improve patient care and efficiency, but also wanted to try to control costs a little better. So they were going to start by tracking 2,000 assets and use this tracking capability and condition capability to ensure compliance with preventative maintenance, improve asset availability, and reduce rental costs by improving utilization and reducing the safety stock that they keep around in different areas of the hospital. IBM provided a solution using Sonitor. That's one of our key partners in the healthcare space. And what's interesting about Sonitor is they can provide room-level accuracy about the assets being tracked. So we can tell you exactly which patient's room it's in. Even if it's a multi-bed room that's being shared by multiple patients, we can tell you which bedside the piece of equipment is at. So this was very attractive to St. Michael's in terms of billing processes and which department is using which assets, being able to tie the asset specifically to a location or room or subroom kind of location. Okay, next slide. The next customer reference here is POSCO. And POSCO is a large steel manufacturer in Korea. And they wanted to track heavy equipment and people in their operational environment in order to improve safety. But they also wanted to address a number of other things. initially, they were focused on employee safety, so they wanted to generate alerts for employees or assets that are moving into restricted access zones or unsafe zones. They also wanted to generate alerts for product that was in process that was moving into an incorrect work cell. So they've got, you know, an established process around the movement of the molten steel and how they treat it as it goes through the process. And they're using the real-time location system that we set up in order to alert for things going out of sequence, right, to help correct production problems that might occur. They also wanted to monitor employee safety, employee compliance with safety procedures and equipment. So if an employee is entering a hazardous zone, you know, ensuring that they have the right equipment with them when they go in, and otherwise generate an alert and send somebody to go correct the situation. And in terms of tracking some of the heavy equipment in the environment, they tagged these ladles. So these are very large crane-mounted structures that carry the molten steel around, and they wanted to be able, because they have a bunch of these ladles, they move around the facility, they wanted to be able to track utilization and optimize their maintenance based on the actual usage of the ladle. So they're able to optimize that preventative maintenance by knowing how often the different ladles are used and how much they're in use. But one of the other interesting things they did is that they used the information about personnel presence or absence to actually control lighting during the off shifts. So when production is, you know, either shut down or is low and there are no people in certain parts of the plant, they actually can automatically turn off the lighting controls using this location information. Slide 15. This customer reference is Honda Italia, and we implemented a system for Honda Italia using some of this technology after they had a very large recall that cost them several millions of dollars in the process. And they had a couple of problems, but a key problem was that they had a very difficult time and had kind of an antiquated system. It was basically pencil and paper based for tracking the as-built configuration of motorcycle chassis and the finished motorcycles. So they wanted to track about 30 or 40 what they termed critical safety parts, and they were doing this by hand. And because of the human error, because of other process errors, things that they didn't have visibility to, a recall that should have resulted in a couple of hundred motorcycles being recalled ended up, you know, several thousand motorcycles had to be recalled, and it cost them, you know, 10 times what it should have cost them for that recall. So the system that we put in place here attaches RFID, a passive RFID tag, to the motorcycle chassis as it's approaching the production line and the work cells as it goes down the line. And then the other thing we did is we, using active RFID, we tagged all the parts, these critical parts that are brought line side in order to replenish basically parts that are being put on motorcycle chassis as they go by. And the system can detect the motorcycle chassis that's passing by the work cell, as well as the parts and the batch and lot associated with those parts that's in each work cell. And so as the motorcycle passes down the line, the system automatically builds an as-built bill of materials for each motorcycle. So what is produced at the end of the day is, you know, we built these 100 motorcycles, and they have a list for each of those motorcycles of the batch and lot of all the critical parts. So they know exactly which parts went into which motorcycles, and if they had to do a recall today for, say, a bad brake assembly, they would recall a fraction of what they had to do before the system was put in place. So this system now will save them literally millions of dollars as they continue production here, and if they have to go through a recall again. Slide 16 is for an Asian electric company, and they wanted to track hardware assets. So we came in with a passive RFID partner, in this case OmniID, and helped them build a system around tracking their IT assets. And we tagged the assets and instituted some processes with RFID in order to do their audits. They had a big problem with audits, and this system allows them to do their audits much more quickly than they were able to do them before, and allows them to capture a lot more information about the assets in a very quick time frame. In slide 17, this is an internal-only reference from HPCL, which is Hindustan Petroleum. They make liquefied gas products, and they have basically a fleet, if you will, of a million or more liquefied petroleum gas cylinders. And these cylinders are owned by HPCL, and they are shipped out to customers with the gas in them, and they're recycled, and they go, you know, they circulate through this process again and again. They ship them out, receive them back, and they needed to be able to readily track the life cycle of these containers, manage them, make sure they weren't going beyond their expected life cycle based on utilization, and they needed to know, needed to gather information more readily about where they were being shipped, who was using them, how long they had them, when they got them back. So we helped them implement a solution here where we put RFID on each of these cylinders and enabled them to capture much more granular information about the life cycle of these cylinders, where they were being sent, who was using them, how long they were there, and we helped them create a set of reports and dashboards around these assets and their utilization. So this is this kind of returnable container tracking scenario is actually kind of common in manufacturing, in the automotive industry, in the Tier 1 industry. And this HPCL was an instance of that kind of solution. So slide 18, in summary, why should you care? One, because we think we can increase your pipeline with this solution. So we can go out, we can target existing EAM customers, we can target existing WebSphere sensor events customers, and we can tell the story around the enhanced value of real-time asset locator with Maximo or Tivoli asset management for IT. I mentioned before that, most of our competitors in this space can't bring both sides of the equation. On the sensor side, there are a few players we compete with. On the asset management side, there's a few players we compete with. We're the only company that brings those two together and can show customers basically a consolidated roadmap for both pieces of that equation. A very powerful story to tell. We have been in this space for a long time. I've been at it for about the past 5-6 years as part of IBM Sensor Solutions Group before we moved into Industry Solutions. And we have over 500 sensor-based engagements under our belt. The 4 or 5 customer references that I went through are really the tip of the iceberg. So we've got references across all industries. And then, finally, RTAL can help you, increase your deal size. So it's win-win-win, I think, for our customers and for us. And with that, I think I will turn it back over to Tim for the call to action. But let me make one last point. There are several more slides after Tim's call to action slide 19 that are key qualifying questions, key contacts, those sorts of things. So I won't go through those in detail, But please use those, and the contacts referenced in there are all, you know, all there to help you guys close deals. So please let us know how we can help. And with that, I'll turn it back over to Tim for the call to action.
Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it. Nice job on going through the product and giving some good information that we all can maximize to go forward. One of the comments that Greg talked about on the prior chart, why should you care, it absolutely is a differentiator. It is absolutely has very solid value propositions. It is a line of business executive a sale. It is the type of thing that really has impact when you're talking to your customers. Greg gave an example of in a healthcare environment, you know, the infectious disease. It's estimated in the United States over 100,000 people die from infections on an annual basis. Not saying that's all due to contaminated equipment or equipment that's not properly maintained, et cetera. However, certainly with real-time asset locator, that's an example of the type of thing that we can help. It is estimated 750 million. Lost assets, 750 million lost assets annually, just in the healthcare industry alone. Where there's one hospital, it's only a 330-bed hospital, just to give you perspective about how why this applies to CXOs and why their ears light up and eyes light up when we talk about this solution. A 330-bed hospital on an annual basis was losing $1 million worth of wheelchairs going out the door. So you can imagine if they could tag the wheelchairs, that's a lot of savings, which immediately creates pretty healthy ROI and, again, excites the line of business executives as well as the CXOs. I mentioned the conversation I had with the Honeywell CEO. He was only supposed to do a stop by 2-3 minutes to say hello, thanks for coming in. Spend an hour with us talking about how this could be applicable. We talked a lot about healthcare in those examples, but you heard Greg give examples in the auto industry, the industrial sector on chart 4. It's applicable across the board, all industries. And to help you get started on that kind of thing, is some of the charts you see on chart 2021 are ones that give you some of the questions, but also at the same time, on chart 22, it gives you contacts. I will tell you also, if you just need one focal point to come to, and we'll get you to the right person here in North America, feel free to utilize me. The North America Maximo team and the Maximo team worldwide is industry aligned, so our expertise is pretty deep. It's interesting with Maximo North America team, we actually staff worldwide opportunities because of the level of expertise we have. We'll be asked to, Mike Stetsky, to go to airport, or I could go down the list of individuals on our team that have industry expertise that are asked to go help a worldwide opportunity. We're aligned into comm sector, industrial sector under Rich Fetcher, public sector, which is both state and local government as well as federal, under Shannon Ehrman, and then distribution sector currently under Cleo Clark. So the resources are there. You heard Greg. Greg, as I said up front, he's a sensor solution architect. He's got deep skills. He's been at this for 6 years. He's the product line manager. You can hear the passion he has in his voice for the solution. You can see on chart 19, bullet 2, that there's some upcoming events, additional webcasts, but there's also white papers out there, white papers with from consultants as well as solution briefs. And we're happy to help you any way needed to generate OI. So I thank you for your time and interest. We're going to now have Q&A, but I hope you'll utilize this information to generate OI because, as we know, pipeline is lifeline. So with that, operator, one last point. The tactic code, make sure, again, as I said up front, tactic code on chart 19 is not the correct one. It's on the cover page, and Chris asked me to make sure 100D905R. Again, 100D905R is the tactic code for this sales plan. Okay, operator, happy to open it up for Q&A. We've got about 11 minutes, so.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 and record your name. To withdraw your request, press star 2. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 and record your name. One moment, please. Your first question comes from Daniel Coffey. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the presentation. You mentioned routes to market. You talked about white space, and you also talked about existing Maximo customer base as potential. Would it be a good idea to get Solitor's customer list so that we could kind of parse out what sectors they've gone after and been successful with and actually touch some of the people that Solitor are already embedded in?
Yeah, I think that's a legitimate thing to do. Solitor, as far as I know, their major focus is on healthcare. Now, Solitor is not our only partner. One of the other key partners, and I did not mention them, and that was my mistake, but Zebra is another key partner of ours in this space. And Zebra is actually backed by an alliance team. Okay, so there are dedicated IBM resources that will help you work with Zebra and help you recommend the right technology. So we actually have in-house IBM people who know the Zebra technology pretty well and can, get people moving fairly quickly. So Zebra and Solitor are both really good partners. They both have some existing customers, and that's certainly a route we could pursue. I would, I don't know who's speaking, but if you send me an email.
Daniel Coffey. Dan is core accounts for Maximo in the West.
Okay. Hey, Dan, if you send me a note, I can try to make some connections there and work with Himanshu Bhatt, who's our sales lead, to see if he has already pursued any of this or see if he can kind of help us, move that one forward.
We'll do. Thank you.
But Dan, that's a good thought, whether it's Zebra or Sonic or any of the partners. One of the other things, too, is if you have a WebSphere sensor, customer version 7 and above, that could be a likely prospect as well. That was mentioned earlier by Greg.
Thank you.
Next question, Mike Williams.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I have about four different areas I'm trying to find out about. Partners for the sensors or for this whole project and their rate structures. Is there an existing statement of work that we can work from? Is there an existing project plan, and what does it add to the project plan? And is there a resource plan, which goes back to the partners, and then how do we bring our own people into a resource plan for planning the whole implementation of this? That's it.
Okay, those are all great, great questions as well, and great things to be thinking about. We, in the sales kit, are some valuable resources. I don't know that all of that is covered. What I can tell you is that our architecture team and our lab services team have both been involved in a number of engagements. So we have, if not a formalized model with all of these partners, we certainly have enough experience to tell you, to provide a template, in other words, of, this is how we, structure the SOW, this is how we purchase or resell equipment from Zebra or Solitor or whatever. I think we can work with you on that. If you would just, drop me a note or drop Himanshu Bhatt a note, we can put you in touch with the right people. I think Mike Cloaker, I think both referenced on the contacts chart, the last slide.
They are, chart 22.
Next question, Cliff Koch.
Yes. How do you guys compete with Absolute Software, who's been in this space for a solution for a long time? Obviously, they don't have the integration into the full enterprise asset management. So how do you see you fitting in and competing against Absolute Software?
Honestly, I'm not familiar with those guys. Or which industry do they show up in mostly?
Well, they're primarily around PCs and asset tracking for PCs and locating those assets. They've been in that market for a long time. I think they're European, a Swedish-owned company, or but they've been in the asset tracking business for a long time.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry.
IT assets.
Okay. You said they were called Absolute Software?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not familiar with them, but I will look them up.
Okay, thanks.
And Cliff, are you saying Absolute Software in the United States or over, you mentioned they're a Swiss company. Are you seeing them mostly in Europe or? Because I have not heard of Absolute Software either, just was curious.
Well, they had a partnership with Dell, and it had some customers that they were kind of OEMing with Dell for asset tracking. They were including it. They have a product, I forget what it's called, but it tracks the PC wherever it's at, you know, the laptop.
Okay.
Mainly around laptop tracking. But Dell, and there's some other, I don't know if HP Compact has one too, but they had formed a partnership with these guys. And maybe Lenovo has one too.
Okay.
Where you get the chip embedded in the laptop. You know, it's kind of like part of the configuration when you order them. And then it would do all the tracking, geographically find out where it's located. In the case it's stolen out of a car, it also did some, I think, protection of the disk, like full disk encryption, or would protect the data that's on the laptop from being exposed. So maybe we should probably see them more, you know, around security than we do around the asset tracking space. But they've been in the marketplace for quite a few years, though. And I know them just because I'd hear that they had these OEM agreements with some of the other PC people.
Okay. We'll take a look at it. Thanks, Cliff.
Sure, thanks.
Daniel Coffey, your line is open.
I know Dan asked a question earlier. Maybe does he have another?
Yeah, Tim, I've come across Absolute. I've seen Absolute around. It's a slightly different marketplace because PCs tend to be tracked in a different way from enterprise assets, and with or without the embedded chip, there are ways of determining the location of the physical location of some of those assets that go, you know, it's a different technology from the kind of tagging that goes on in the typical industrial or hospital environments. The person who asked the question kind of answered where I was going with that.
Okay. Thanks, Dan.
There are no other questions at this time.
Well, then, let me just, again, thank everybody for their time and attention. I hope you found this beneficial. Again, Chart 22 has contacts. Here in North America, if you want, feel free to use me, Tim Healy, as the contact, timhealy@us.ibm.com, and I'll be sure to direct it to the appropriate person on the team. And with that, have a great rest of the day. Thank you.